Are you a new stepmom who's struggled? This week, we're talking to a stepmom coach about how to find your footing when you are that new stepmom.
I'm Cameron. I spent years building my career and creating a life I loved. And when my Prince Charming finally showed up, he had four kids in tow. Fast forward through lots of mistakes made and lessons learned, stepfamily life was much more complicated than I realized. If you're looking for help with blended family life, you're in the right place. Welcome to the Stepmom Diaries, where we keep it real as we dish about all the things. This is your weekly dose of blended family inspiration and encouragement. You're not the wicked stepmother, so let me help you find your fairy tale ending. Come on, let's do this.
This week's guest is a stepmom coach and was a speaker at the third annual Stepmom Summit back in April. Her name is Bea Chapman, and we met her through our friend Nasha Hall, who's been on the podcast before. Bea is an experienced coach and operations manager at the Nasha Hall Coaching Agency, and with 6 years of dedication in the field of coaching, she is knowledgeable in life transition, empathy, and reflective thinking. As a custodial stepmom and military spouse, Bea brings a unique perspective to her stepfamily coaching and has helped stepmoms worldwide. Now, I mentioned she also spoke at our third annual Stepmom Summit back in April all about how to be an unbothered stepmom. And she gave some great advice. If you missed the summit, we still have a way for you to access the presentations, and I'll put a link in the show notes, which you can find at thiscustomlife.com/episode66. So let's get into it with Bea.
Bea, welcome. I'm so excited that you're here.
Thank you so much. I'm very excited to be here. I had to, you know, I had to fly the skies to get here.
Well, we are glad you're here. So for those of you listening, I know I mentioned, but Bea was one of our speakers at our recent Stepmom Summit. It was our third year doing this, and I'll put links in the show notes so that you can go back and get access to her presentation. But Bea, you work with my girl Nasha.
Yes.
Tell me about, I always like to ask origin stories. Like, tell me how you became a stepmom. I want to know how you and your spouse met. And then tell me your coaching origin story working with Nasha, the wonderful Nasha Hall, who, if you all don't know, I had her on as a guest a while back. And she's totally fun. And I just can't imagine what working with her must be like. She's awesome. So tell me all the things.
Literally all that and more.
So let's start with your family. Yeah.
Yeah. So I woke up one day, the single woman that I was at that point, and I went to sleep a stepmom of multiple children, three to be exact, two teenagers and a toddler. So that was interesting. It was super, super interesting. I did not have any children. I didn't know what to do with children. I mean, they were okay. Not like these children, but like children in general. They were okay to kind of like do what you do with them and then give them back to their parents, their grandparents, or their whomever, like anybody other than me. And that was no longer the case. Like, that's how it went. So we actually met at an event that I went to for work. I was working in public health at the time, and we met at this event and we chatted and we talked and exchanged info, and here we are. It has been 8 years.
And you've got teenagers, so some of those years are longer than others.
Oh, yeah. Those are like two lifetimes right there. I mean... I know biological parents have it hard with teenagers, but like, I don't know. I think we have it worse.
It is. Teenager parenting is just really hard. They are like totally different animals when they're teenagers.
Yeah. You can't tell them anything. You can't advise them on anything, but you're still responsible for them in some sick, twisted way. So yeah, it was rough. And that's kind of what led me to nausea, because I was like, man, like, I got to figure out something. Like, this really sucks. Not like they suck, but like, this sucks. Like, I'm learning how to be a parent. All of this is going on. There's all these like hormones and everything. It was horrible. It was absolutely horrible trying to figure out what to do. So I was at my wit's end and I'm like, I need to figure out something. And there wasn't a lot of spaces for stepmoms. You know, there's like other like nuclear parenting groups. There's like biological mothering groups. And like, I never felt like I really fit in those spaces. So like, I had to like tread water trying to find a resource that was helpful for me. And that's how we connected. And as you can see now, you know, based on my professional experiences, my lived experiences, I'm in the coaching realm now. So it's really come full circle.
I love it. So you've been married for 8 years. When you became a stepmom, what was one of the things that you struggled the most with in terms of figuring out this role? Because it's really hard, as we've established.
Yeah, it's super hard. So we've actually been married for going on 5 years.
Oh, 5 years.
But we started dating about 7-8 years ago. And my husband had custody of all of them. So I've been a full-time stepmom from the very beginning. There was no breaks. Oh, wow. There was nobody else to give them to. It wasn't like, oh, this is your weekend. No, it was always our week, year, decade. So it was hard. It was hard, you know, and with the older two being teenagers, like I don't want to say there's that line of demarcation that you just don't really cross, but that closeness in age was super weird. It was super weird. I mean, it's not closeness super close, but
closeness like, of age between you and them, or between mm-hmm. them and each other?
Me and them. You know, I'm pretty wise beyond my years. You know, I know a lot of things, not like in a cocky way, but like I can make things work. But it was one of those things where I've never been in that type of space before. And I don't think they've ever been in that type of space before. So navigating just like the standard parenting, childing, those sorts of things, guidance, all of that, it was different. It was very different. And I think a lot of times neither one of us really knew how to kind of navigate the situation, because it's like, oh, like you're kind of like an aunt more than a mom. So that was pretty tough, but boundaries and guardrails really got us through.
Yeah. So how close are you in age, and how did you sort of figure out that you needed some boundaries?
So with the oldest, it's about like a 9-10 year gap. Mm-hmm. And really,
yeah, so that can feel more like an aunt type mm-hmm. thing, you know?
Yeah, and not the fun aunt either. Because everyone loves the fun aunt. Nobody likes the aunt that makes rules and gets people in trouble. But really, the boundaries came from my husband, if I'm being honest. You know, he's been really good about not putting me in positions that were uncomfortable, or not asking me to do anything that I wasn't okay with, and not like having me be a buffer, which I think is, I don't want to say it's foreign or different in the stepmom world, but I've heard some pretty bad stories about like the stepmom being caught in between, or, you know, mm-hmm. kind of serving as that buffer when situations are uncomfortable. But I'm happy to say I don't feel like I've been in that position. So really the boundaries, he has been a really great help with.
That's great. And did you guys have to like have discussions about the fact that you needed some boundaries and needed some help, or did he pick up on it?
Oh yeah. And I would say much more so later on in the process than earlier on. And that really came when I found my footing and I was just like, look, I see what's happening here. And I think I'm going to sit this one out. And, you know, me sitting this one out is what makes the difference between certain things working out better with, you know, who they need to work out better with, or if that helps open up lines of communication. Like, I'm not going to feel like I'm thrown away or like exiled from the conversation. It's like, it's cool. It's fine. I'll be over here drinking my mimosa.
So what kind of boundaries did you have to implement to sort of preserve your sanity? Because I know that it's hard sometimes for, especially for new stepmoms, to sort of figure out what's going to help them.
Really emotional. It really started there because, like, the physical boundaries, I mean, what are that? What is that like when you all live under the same roof? So really emotional boundaries, you know, I think as stepmoms, a lot of times we come in thinking that we have to fix problems that we didn't create or mend things that we didn't break. And that's just simply not true. Very similarly to other roles that we may hold, whether it's in the workplace or in our family or me, I'm the older sibling. So the older siblings always think that everything is going to fall apart unless we are playing an active role. So just like those sorts of things and just releasing myself from the responsibility of feeling like if I don't do X, Y, Z, this isn't going to get fixed or it's not going to work out or anything like that. So that's really been helpful for me to not like put myself in positions to where like I am giving myself the responsibility of like fixing or orchestrating or anything like that, because it could be exhausting and it can be very demoralizing. And, you know, when you put yourself in the middle of something like that, you're directly putting yourself in a position to feel the effects, whether they're good or bad. And so I just really stopped doing a lot of that, but I was really communicative with it though. I didn't just ghost the situation. I'm like, hey, you know, I'm going to sit this one out, or, hey, you know, I'm going to let you take the lead on this, or, hey, I'll be over here drinking my mimosa, like anything other than being in the mix.
Yeah, totally. Well, and I love the way that you phrase that, releasing yourself from it, because I think so much of it, especially for new stepmoms, is like really giving ourselves some grace, right? To like cut ourselves a little slack and stop. But we put so much pressure on ourselves to like mm-hmm. do all the things, and then it becomes this sort of situation where we're like setting ourselves up to fail, right?
Yeah, it becomes really problematic. And especially for the stepmoms that don't have any biological children, like if that's the only version of motherhood that you may experience, like you want it to be tight, you want it to be right, like you want to have influence, you want to have input, but like you have to stop at a point and think, at what cost? You know, at what cost? Does it come at an emotional cost? Does it come at a physical cost? Does it come at a marital cost? Does it come at a relationship cost? Does it come at a mental health cost? Like you have to think about all those things and like take it old school, break out a pen and paper, pros and cons list, right? If your cons list is way bigger than the pros list, time to make some changes. If your pros list is, you know, it's all right, but it's kind of running neck and neck with the cons list, let's see how we can balance it out and adjust it. But at the end of the day, you know, not sacrificing, and I don't use that word lightly, not sacrificing the you that you brought into the relationship or the family or the marriage, the you that you brought into the household, because that you was valuable for a reason. And if you lose that you by trying to go after these other things, you know, it's going to cause a whole lot more harm than good in the long run, and not just, you know, for the unit individually too.
I think that's so true. And I think that, you know, new stepmoms come in with this sort of, as you said, this expectation that, you know, especially if they don't have their own biological children, this is the family you've got, and you want to make it like this perfect family, you know, and you put so much pressure on that you really do, you really can lose yourself in all that.
You do. And I think back to some of the things that I did when I was a teenager. I was good. I think I was good. Maybe not a model teenager, but I think I was pretty all right. Like, I was easy to get along with. I was a polite child. You know, I followed rules. But there were things that just, like, as a normal teenager, that I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that I should not have done. I'm not going to admit it on this podcast in case my mom ever hears it. But, you know, there are things that, they're just things that teenagers do. And, like, it boils down to just recalibrating those expectations. Like, I think we come into this stepmom thing like with this La La Land pie in the sky dream of like how things should go, when in reality people are people, children are children, teenagers are teenagers, and like we're all individuals. And there are just some things that are just innately teenager, and they're just innately children, regardless of who's on the receiving end of it. So, you know, expectations are huge.
Yeah. How do you, you know, with teenagers, there's the step family dynamic, and then there's just like normal teenage behavior, which is, you know, let's face it, challenging at best sometimes. How do you, you know, when you've got a weird or complicated dynamic going with a teenage stepchild, how do you kind of figure out, is this a step family dynamic or is this like a hormonal teenage dynamic?
That one's always tough because there are different factors at play when it comes to the step family dynamic. Like you might have like a high conflict parent that's part of the situation. You might have separation anxiety that's part of the situation. Just grief and loss, not necessarily from a person like physically passing on, but from what that family dynamic used to look like, whether it's a parent that they used to live with or having them both. So there's a lot that really goes into it that can affect how I think a stepchild or stepchildren operate in that space. But for me, what I found helpful is keeping the lines of communication open. Something that I have vowed to do, this is as recently as within the past few weeks, is I've decided I'm not going to kind of use my husband as a gatekeeper, or like allow him to be a gatekeeper when I need to communicate certain things. Because that game of telephone could be so dangerous. And like, if you send a message through someone, whether it's the spouse or like one of the stepchildren, the way that message comes out the other end is fully dependent on the person delivering it. So why not just cut out all that middle stuff and deliver the message myself? And I found that in doing that, that, you know, the message doesn't get garbled, or when it's coming back to me, it doesn't get garbled. Is it going to be perfect? No. You know, nothing is perfect, but, you know, it helps to eliminate, it's like risk mitigation, if that makes sense. It helps to eliminate some of that discomfort of, oh, well, I don't know what to say or how to say it. I mean, there's still a level of tact that should be held. You know, you don't want to just go off the rails, come in like guns a-blazing because you're the stepmom and this is the stepchild, but you know, as best as possible, keeping those lines of communication open and asking for what their expectations are and relaying your expectations in return have done wonders for me, so that, you know, it's no longer a guessing game. Well, what do they really mean? Or what do they really think? Or, you know, when they said that, I wonder what they meant. Just ask, you know, just ask.
I like that. And I think, you know, the nice thing about teenagers is that, you know, they are at an age where they can have not totally adult conversations, but more adult conversations. And you can kind of take on the elephant in the room and say, you know, what do you think about all this? You know, and I know with my stepdaughter, we've been able to have a lot of conversations about, you know, hey, you know, I know it sucks that your parents can't get along on this. You know, how are you feeling? And
right.
Then, you know, we talk about it, and it's, you know, it's nice. And I found kind of a nice place to be with her in terms of our relationship. And there are a lot of opportunities there, assuming that the teenagers are open to it, you know?
Exactly. What I always suggest when I'm either with a coaching client or depending on who in the community I'm speaking to is like, sometimes there's been just so much drama and trauma that really has screwed the way that they can process this stuff. Like, I'm just going to be honest. And so I say this to people when they're trying to explain something to me that they want me to understand, explain it to me like I'm three. and I get that same guidance, like, explain it to them like they're three. Because if you think of someone who may not have like the cognitive ability or like the emotional capacity to receive information the way someone who is like moderately put together can, like, you're going to have to explain those things like they're three. Because, you know, it's just, it's just not there. And I think when those expectations are laid out like that, if you get a response, if you get a reaction to whether it's a question or a comment or a statement, and it's like tantrum like, or like basically coming in like it's coming from a 3-year-old, like you have the expectations of, oh, well, I'm just meeting this person where they are. And like, I have to expect to receive the response or the lack thereof based on where they are. And that also helps. And I don't think that's a blended family thing. That's just a people thing.
Yeah. What's the most common thing that you see when you're coaching stepmoms? What is the most common thing that they come to you about?
A lack of a feeling of belonging. So like missing that sense of belonging, missing that sense of having a place, having a space, having a say. And, you know, I think, again, that really boils down to the perception of the role or the dynamics or just the household that is had coming into it. And that's why it's so important to not only have these conversations early on, but kind of get a lay of the land before you dive in head first, because you never know what you might find. And what you might find could be super scary.
So, that's true. And I think I always tell people, you know, it's important to get that lay of the land. But even when you think you know what you're getting into as a stepmom, you don't really know what you're getting into, because there's so many surprises that come around the corner.
Exactly. And they just keep coming. Like, I've just kind of accepted the fact that it's going to keep coming for the rest of my life, because I thought that the surprises were going to be done, like, once they got older. No. Some of the surprises are good. Some of them are bad. Some of them are indifferent. But the surprises never stop.
That's so true. Well, B, tell everyone where they can find you.
Sure. So the best place to find me is vipstepmom.com/coachB. Or I'm on all socials at chat with B. chatwithbee.
Perfect. Well, I'm going to make sure that we have all your links in the show notes. And B, thank you so much. This was so fun, and loved getting
Thanks
to chat with
me.
You. Yeah. And we'll look forward to chatting with you again at future events.
Awesome. Can't wait.
Thanks.
That's it for this week. If you've enjoyed our chat, I hope you'll help spread the word. Share this episode with friends and head on over to wherever you listen to podcasts and leave me a review. And don't forget, for more great stepmom content, head on over to thiscustomlife.com and follow me on social media. Just search This Custom Life on Facebook, Instagram, Twitter, and Pinterest. Until next time, you keep being you, and know that we are in this together. See you here next week.